watch your dip can float my fucking boat. I don't give a fuck.
Scream door boat. We good.
All right. Goddamn. We're podcasting. The name of our podcast is Corn.
That's it.
We are going to change it, but we're too late.
We're also, it's just funny.
Did you know that when you clicked on this that this was going to be a true crime podcast?
Probably not. If you thought it was about like agriculture and like Monsanto's like GMO bullshit, sorry, it's not.
It's
we
not.
Could get into that eventually.
Maybe eventually we'll change our gears to a corn podcast.
Probably not.
I'm Alexa.
Hi, I'm Harlow.
We're different. Well, I feel like I haven't done this in 25 years.
Which is ironic because we did it back to back like 2 weeks in
yep,
a row.
Yep. It's just that I shut down my brain.
Hey guys, sometimes that happens.
And sometimes people with names send you cease and desist letters.
And then you get salty and just cut your name down to Corn. And, but it's fine.
Hey, we ceased. We desisted.
And we made a really funny joke.
And now you know the lore, and you had to wait until episode 6 to hear it.
Congrats, you unlocked... This is 5.
Episode 5 to hear it.
Guys, we're living our best lives. It's fine.
I need to reactivate my brain. All right, everybody. We're going to talk about trans rights.
Hell yeah.
Specifically... Black trans women.
Also just black
women. Just black
women.
People in general.
Just
quit
leave
being assholes.
Alone, guys.
Yeah, God, trans rights. Okay, so this is about trans rights. Here we go. And it's really fucking sad, and I cried whenever I read this. So on July 29th of 2015, police were called to a vacant lot on a residential street located between Harry Hines and I-35. In the vacant lot, there was a body, which is probably why the police were called. The body had been so far advanced in decomposition that police couldn't determine a race. The victim was found to be wearing a black wig. False fingernails is what the police blotter said, so I'm assuming like acrylics.
Acrylic nails or press-ons.
Something. And they had pink tips and rhinestones. They were wearing sunglasses, a blue cotton white tube top with like straps on it, which isn't a tube top, but okay. Blue shorts and black Nike flip-flops. I'm assuming they were slides, but they didn't specify. There were faint tattoos visible. On the right shin, there was one that read shade and like a script. On the right shoulder, there was the name Willie inside of a heart, and there was like a die next to it. Mm-hmm. And there was something else. I couldn't tell what it was. And then on the right thigh, there was like a banner and a star. They're kind of like, especially the one on the thigh was like a not-so-good tattoo,
mm-hmm.
which I have 2 not-so-good tattoos on my thigh that I was 21. the victim turned out to be Shade Schuler, a 22-year-old black trans woman. The initial police posting on the DFW beat identified her sex as male when asking the public for help in a posting, and that was posted on August 10th,
mm-hmm.
and she was found on July 29th. And then I pulled a quote from Cosmopolitan about that situation because I know that the trans community was really upset about it in mm-hmm. the area. And it says, however, Senior Corporal Monica Cordova, a public information officer with the Dallas Police Department, told Cosmopolitan.com that because some of Schuler's friends were referring to her as female and because she was, quote, found in women's clothing, the department is now referring to Schuler as female. Quote, unfortunately, we can't talk to her to figure out what she would like to be called, Cordova said, but they have chosen to adopt female pronouns, quote, out of respect for the victim. So, and I do know that friends and family affectionately called Shade Miss Shade,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Like, I
like
can't
all
find
the information at all.
Yeah, I can't find an obituary for her. I did find like a notification of her wake. Mm-hmm. They used a picture of her before transitioning. So even if there was an obituary on that, I probably wouldn't have used
yeah.
it. There's really no information on the crime mm-hmm. Because the reason. Why is because she's a black trans woman murdered in Dallas, and I feel really stupid because I didn't know how bad the murders mm-hmm. were here. Her story just gets overshadowed mm-hmm. by so many other black trans women who are murdered. Mm-hmm. So like whenever you look up like Shade's name, so many other people come up in mm-hmm. that. In one of the articles about Shade that I found, mm-hmm. I saw a woman named Malaysia Booker, and I couldn't like believe her story. So I wanted to tell you guys that too, because the story about Shade is so short. Mm-hmm. So on April 12th, 2019, a video circulated of 23-year-old trans woman Malaysia Booker being beaten brutally in an apartment complex while many men joined in and others watched as Booker struggled to escape until a group of women helped to get moved and like helped her get away. Mm-hmm. It was described in an article by the Washington Post as looking like mob violence. Malaysia was okay. She mm-hmm. well okay. She I think she got had the like
shit beat out
yeah. I think she had like dead. A concussion and a fractured wrist. Mm-hmm. And there was probably more, but I couldn't find a whole lot of information. I mean, in the video, like there's like this main dude who's like beating her up, mm-hmm. and there's like it looks like the whole entire apartment complex Jesus came outside and like they're like standing around watching her, and there's like a girl next to somebody who's videotaping who's screaming like please like stop, and like random guys are coming in like punching her in the head or like stomping on her head. And like, don't get me wrong guys, like I didn't go out of my way to look this video up. I don't like videos like that. It's like literally whenever I would go to do my research and I would watch like a blotter on Malaysia, they would just flash that video up.
That should be illegal.
Yeah. I guess at this point, when these news articles were coming out, mm-hmm. it was a little bit, it had happened a few months before. So people were a little desensitized to it. Yeah. But I don't know. There's just something about like people just standing idly by.
There, I don't know if it's a thing. But there should be some kind of, like, I think it is in, like, emergencies. But, like, if you're a bystander not doing shit when there's an active crime happening, you should be able to be charged.
No, yeah. And, accessory to a crime.
Because like, you're not helping.
Yeah.
You're not...
There's just, like, it's just crazy. It looks like a schoolyard fight where everybody's just standing around watching, but they're fucking full-grown adults.
Every single one of those people is responsible for what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's really sad because it's like summer and she's like mm-hmm. wearing like, I think she's like wearing like a little camisole and like mm-hmm. shorts and like flip flops. She's like, doesn't have anything to protect her body.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she's like, she's like got like, and she's getting dragged around and it was just really fucked up. So, according to police, Malaysia had accidentally backed into Edward Thomas's car, who then got out of his car and held her at gunpoint until she paid for damages. A crowd like formed around, which naturally happens, I think, if someone's screaming at somebody.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, what the hell? Then in that crowd, someone offered Edward Thomas $200 to beat Malaysia up.
Jesus fucking and, Christ. That person should definitely get arrested.
Yeah, and Thomas was arrested and charged for aggravated assault on April 14th. That's 2 days after the video circulated.
Jesus fucking Christ.
During a rally after her publicized attack, Booker said, quote, "This time I can stand before you, whereas in other scenarios we are at a memorial." And that like really spoke to me and like shattered my heart. Mm-hmm. Because on May 22nd, the next month, mm-hmm. Malaysia Booker was found shot to death in a wooded area in South Dallas between an apartment complex and a golf course.
She didn't live near there, did she?
No, I don't know. Because mm-hmm. the apartment complex that she was getting hurt at, mm-hmm. where her publicized attack was,
yeah.
I think that she like... I read in one article that she actually took her little cousin there to go watch a fight.
What a mood.
And I think it's so funny because relatable. It's like, I think that she was, I got 22 and 23 for her age. So I'm
so
like,
she's still young.
Yeah,
she's
like, hell yeah. Shit. Like,
live your best life.
I'll go.
Yeah, same.
I didn't know if she lived in the area, but I do know that she was last seen getting into a light-colored Lincoln. That's like mm-hmm. what they had said. But in June of 2019, so the next month, mm-hmm. A man named Kendrell Lyles was arrested under the suspicion of Malaysia's murder, who is also suspected of two other murders and is the person of interest in the murder of Chanel Lindsay, another Black trans woman who was found in White Rock Lake. Mm-hmm. And the other two murders, like, they didn't name the names in the article, I think because this has happened still pretty recently.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, like, they're going to bring it out in court or what.
They don't know if they're going to link them all together.
Yeah. I don't even know if Chanel is actually... He's just a person of interest. So yeah. He's not even... But it's just that's another Black trans woman who came up in my research, mm-hmm. like who was found dead in Dallas. Police connected Lyle to Booker's murder when they saw that cell phone records indicated that he and Booker were in the same place at the same time. Mm-hmm. His car also matched the description of the Lincoln that Malaysia was described. Mm-hmm. Like getting into. Because Lyles was arrested so recently, there's no additional information on the direction that the case is going in.
Yeah.
I don't really know, but like I just wanted to kind of like ring a bell here because it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like this was last year and like I didn't know this was happening. Mm-hmm. And I feel really bad because, and like, I will defend myself. I don't like reading the news. I get really freaked out and uncomfortable.
No, yeah, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I don't need that.
Yeah.
I'm anxious enough.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. And then I was talking to my mom. My mom's like, no, I remember that. Like, I remember that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It was really sad. And I was going to stop it there. But then there's this amazing scene in an article about Malaysia's funeral. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took some stuff out of that. And this is Stephanie Houston's mom speaking. And it says, Malaysia had many fights. Malaysia didn't start trouble, but she would finish it. She always had to defend. That was like at her eulogy. Mm-hmm. Malaysia's funeral took place at the Cathedral of Hope, which is one of the country's like biggest LGBTQ plus congregations. Mm-hmm. And it's near Oaklawn, which is the gayborhood here. She was buried in a blue casket that matched her bejeweled blue dress, and 400 people attended the memorial. Malaysia's mom said that she did blue because blue is Malaysia's favorite color, but mm-hmm. friends argue that pink was Malaysia's favorite color. Mm-hmm. But I think that because of this next paragraph, that's why people have like mm-hmm. issues. Her mom openly admitted that she had issues accepting Malaysia as a transgender woman. And once in a moment of anger, she said she'd cut Malaysia's hair and dress her as a man if she ever died before her mother. Stephanie Houston ultimately, quote, honored her truth because of how hard she fought for it and how she paid the ultimate price. But like, I can't stress enough how beautiful Malaysia's memorial was. I think that councilman like went to her like memorial and like she had this like beautiful like white hearse, and like the mm-hmm. pallbearers were all wearing like blue and white like suits kind mm-hmm. of, and like people were wearing like custom t-shirts with her face on it. Mm-hmm. But I did read somewhere that in her the booklet that they passed, I mean, it was like night, like they looked like magazines. They had like pictures of her, but they did have pictures pre-transitioning. And one of the people said that it was because it was for a compromise for the family and friends.
Family and friends can get fucked.
Yeah, because Malaysia's not a man. Like, Malaysia is a woman.
They don't get an opinion of how they get to see you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. And so this is from LaQuincia Taylor. This is Malaysia's sister. It says, I cried last time. It says, I grew up with the brother who I loved, and later I was introduced to Malaysia, who I loved. That was my sister, my friend, and she meant a lot to me. And Malaysia was also honored at a small London vigil outside of the U.S. Embassy on May 29th in 2019. That's all I have, except, like, if you guys had seen Miss Shade anytime before the 29th, like probably like weeks before that, tell somebody because no one knows. There's nothing in her case.
So, okay, I have to bring it up because I brought it up last time.
Okay.
They're found like outside all these apartments that they don't live at. And because the crossover with these women, well, I guess just sex work is insanely huge. And mm-hmm. they both have a huge history of just being overlooked. Were any of them sex workers?
There's no information on Shade. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. But I did see one thing on Malaysia saying that she was working as an escort. Mm-hmm. It was in one article, and it said in the article that she was rumored to be an escort.
So I'm not going to.
So I couldn't even believe that they would even put that in the article.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds like stupid to me.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go with no.
No, I assume not.
Okay.
But
because it's one thing to. Cops already overlook sex workers in general. If anything happens to them, like if they're like beaten or even fucking murdered, but with even trans women, the same thing. If they're black people of color or women of color and they're sex workers, the amounts that they're going to be overlooked is like astronomical. So.
Yeah, it's already like, yeah, well, I know what you're saying, like that there's already a victim from baseline who's just a trans mm-hmm. black woman who's already going to get overlooked, and then you're wondering if they're like double overlooked. Yeah. As far as I know.
Okay.
No, but do I still think they were double overlooked? Yeah.
Oh yeah, they absolutely
well,
are.
Well, Malaysia wasn't, because Malaysia, her crime was, I can't say solved, but her crime had a good lead in it pretty quickly. Shade, on the other hand, that was 2015 and it's 2020. I just had to look at what year it was. But like, it's just really crazy.
Ridiculous.
And it's like, we don't have enough statistics for 2020 here in Dallas yet, which I hope that it's nothing like the statistic in 2019, because whenever you look at Shade, Malaysia comes up, and then Chanel comes up, and then there's a woman named Brittany White who mm-hmm. comes up, and then like I tried compiling a list and I couldn't, because there's so many women who are just getting killed, and like so many other cases are unsolved, and some people think that there's a serial killer. And,
no,
like,
it's just the fact that you cannot look up the name of one woman of color who's a trans woman who's been murdered without getting literally every other woman out there.
Yeah.
Like,
there's like a literal Wikipedia list that says, like, it's like a list of women, mm-hmm. not just women, trans people in general. Mm-hmm. It's mostly women. There was one trans man on there that I found in Dallas, actually. It's just like a list of, like, it's quote unlawfully killed trans people. Mm-hmm. And it's huge.
Yeah. It's, and like, you just mentioned it for like a second, but serial killers and people, like, if you. If you give any weight to that idea, you're just kind of full of yourself or whatever, because that's not the case. Serial killers are actually very uncommon, and these are just hate crimes from mm-hmm. people who are awful.
Yeah.
It's not someone planning out methodically or whatever. It's like, oh, I discovered you're a trans person. Now I'm going to murder you.
Yeah. Like, and
that's literally the whole thing.
And I recommend that every single fucking one of you, when you're done listening to this episode, to go to Criminal and listen to the Gay Panic Defense episode. Mm-hmm. Because that is, people get away with killing gay people and trans people because there's this thing called the Gay Panic, Trans Panic Defense, mm-hmm. where they're like, well, they were hooking up and he discovered that she was transgender. And so he, in a rage, he killed her.
No, that
and
doesn't happen.
And people
Sorry.
Are literally getting away with murder because of that.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Guys, that's not a thing. Sorry, if you use that as a defense, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Sorry, that doesn't count.
It doesn't count. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. And it's funny because it's like, I guarantee she already told you. Like, no, if you guys are hooking up, I guarantee she's like, hey, by the way, just want to
Because
let
literally
you know.
Every trans person is scared of that exact thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nobody, like, most of my friends or whatever, we're pretty open about it with people we're either dating or just talking to, be like, hey, just by the way, I'm trans. So you don't get murdered.
Yeah.
You say that right out the gate. But Jesus fucking Christ. Like, we as trans people get murdered, and I'm saying we, because hello, I'm trans, but also I'm not a person of color, I'm white as hell, but we literally have an entire fucking holiday dedicated to remembering, like, all the trans people that have been murdered that year. Every fucking year, there are huge vigils all around the U.S. to just remember, hey, yeah, these people died just because they're trans. And that's literally it.
And then, like, it's another thing where, like, I mentioned this last time more organically. Harlow and I were talking about how, like, I'm like, damn, like, the only representation you all as trans people get is whenever someone is fucking murdered.
Yeah.
And then you have, sure, you have, like, Laverne Cox. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck yeah, Laverne Cox. You do your fucking shit. Yeah. Playing fucking Frankenfurter and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No shit.
Yeah, she did like, they did like a reboot and she played Frankenfurter.
I love her.
But like, it's also kind of like, she plays a criminal in Orange is the New Black, which she's dope. Don't fucking get me wrong.
Oh no, I love her.
I love Laverne Cox, but it's just like, cool, you have that.
It's the same thing as like, Black people only being shown in movies and TV shows as gangsters and drug dealers. It's like, it's bad, guys. That's not a good thing.
Like,
you can't have, when you're growing up as a kid and your only role model for how you're experiencing, like, either, I mean, as a Black kid, I have to go by like a trans or gay kid, because hello. But like, if your only example in the media is this creepy gay guy, or this fucking gangster who shoots people, or this depiction of a trans woman that's incredibly offensive. And a complete joke. Like, it's the point of it is a joke.
People, okay, listen. That is, let me fucking put the fucking Play Hairspray on fucking blast here. Mm-hmm. I hate the Play Hairspray. Sorry, I fucking hate it. It's the worst fucking play. And the reason why I hate it so much is because the character, you've seen the movie.
Yeah, John Travolta.
The character John Travolta
woman.
Plays is demanded to be played by a man because it's funny. Because that's that play disgusting. Was written X amount of years ago, and that's why I fucking hate the play. Yeah, it's
I thought
written,
they just did it to get John Travolta, but no
it's,
that's
it's
disgusting.
It's written in the play that Tracy Turnblad, or whatever her name is, mom, has to be played by a man because it's funny.
That's disgusting.
Because that's what humor was. And that's why I don't fucking like Hairspray. And it's also just fucking fat grease. Fucking tell me it's not. Because it literally is fat grease, and grease is way better.
I like grease.
Love grease.
Grease is good.
But, like, it's just, like,
you can't grow up and have your only examples be literal jokes and murderers and expect your kid to come out confident of who they are and, like, embrace that. Like, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and if you guys, like, on a much more shallow level, the only level that I can relate it on as, like, a cis kind of straight person. I don't really know what I am.
You don't got a label. It's you, you, man.
But, like, I'm fat, and I said this last time, and I kind of regretted it, but I'm just going to say it again. It's, like, that's the same I can kind of relate to, like, growing up, and my only fat was fucking Ursula. That's the only fucking character is Ursula. It's like, okay, in The Matchmaker.
That you only see it as mean.
They're awful, mean, people, terrible characters. Now The Matchmaker's hilarious, and Ursula's a queen. But, like, it's like you don't know that when you're growing up. And so,
as a kid, you see them as how they're shown to you. Like, oh, these are the bad people. And people,
like,
grew up
scared of Ursula. Like, I know people who were, like, scared of her. I always was like, there's this beautiful slam poem called Ursula. I forgot who it was by. I need to look it up so I can at her. But, like, that's the only thing that I can relate it to, and I understand, because it's like, how do you feel confident whenever the people that are portrayed
and
are, like...
And you don't.
Yeah. Like, it's like... I can't even think of one gay person in anything that I grew up watching.
Yeah, no.
There's, like, Sailor Moon, but they were cousins. Mm-hmm. But, like...
Everyone knows they're not.
They were not cousins.
but there's not. Whenever we grew up, there was absolutely nothing.
There wasn't anything.
I mean, kids today, they're getting more exposure to it, which is good.
Amazing.
And I'm so happy for all of them. And I'm excited to see how... they get to grow up different and have all these examples. But at the same time, like, we're still in that in-between zone where it's not happening.
And it's still taboo, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, Disney's passing, oh, we said this character's gay, so they're gay kind of thing, you know? Like, it's just hand wave, like, oh yeah, that's a thing, without explicitly
Disney
depicting things as, oh, this is a healthy gay relationship.
If that gay troll from Onward, I know I'm interrupting you, and I'm really fine. Sorry. If that gay troll from Onward does not kiss another gay troll from Onward, riot. Then it is not a fucking gay character.
No, you can't just...
That's like, they literally JK, that's why I hate Harry Potter. Yeah, JK Rowling did. They said,
oh no.
Voldemort or everybody... Dumbledore's gay. Like...
No. I want you to know that literally, she's the biggest... turf in the entire world.
She is the biggest turf in the entire world.
No, everyone hates J.K. Rowling. She can go suck a nut.
That's like, I hate, like, I had a friend who I'm not going to name, who I talked about in every single fucking episode, who was obsessed with Harry Potter. And I remember I was like, and they, like, sent me all the audiobooks, and I was like, okay, I'll listen. And I was listening. Mm-hmm. And they're bad because they're for 8-year-olds. And I'm like, oh, it's cute.
When I read them, I liked them. But that was like, I didn't read into anything at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just going to read these books.
You're on an adventure.
Books. Yep.
And then I realized that she was constantly defending J.K. Rowling. And then constantly. And then I'm like, then this bitch comes out with the turfiest turf tweet of Turfville. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she can donate her money. She can lose her... But she lost her status as a billionaire because she donated... I don't fucking care. Good. She has too much... Lose your status as a fucking millionaire. I don't give a fuck. But if you're going to be a turf, shove it up your ass. Shove all that $1 million inside of your asshole. You're a billionaire because you have Harry Potter land. You send people cease and desist orders left and goddamn right. Mm-hmm. And I hate people who send cease and desist orders because they're bitches.
If Alexa's aggressively drinking her water. Oh, God.
Ow, I drank too hard.
That's what you get.
I know.
If you want to, for all my people who are either straight or cis or have kids and don't know how to handle... like their kid potentially being gay or trans or whatever, the best thing you can do is casually just be like, oh yeah, that's a great thing. That's a good thing that they got. They got married. Cool. That's great. Oh, this trans person came out. They're wearing dress one day in like cool suit the next. Great. I'm happy for them. They can wear whatever the fuck they want. Do that. I swear to God, do that to your kids. Let kids know, just casually, without making a big deal. You fucks with that.
Yeah, fucks. You just see, like, a gay couple kissing. Hey, it's like you're a 6-year-old, you nudge them. Hey, I fucks with that.
But, like, it's kids don't give a fuck. Like, the other day, I bring my, I have a clear backpack that I got because I went to Pride. You have to have clear backpacks. Mm-hmm. And I've been slapping all my pins.
Which is a shame that you have to have a clear backpack at Pride because people were gonna fucking kill all of you guys.
Yeah. Guys, oh my gosh. Can't celebrate without being worried about we're gonna die.
No, but cops at Pride. Okay, I can't say that. I had to cut
cops.
That last time.
No, fuck cops. I'm gay trans. Fuck cops. But like, I have very many queer pins on my backpack. Sorry. I've got like a little heart that's like pan colors and like my little rainbow ones and like all that shit. And the kids were just like, what's that? And I'd tell them, I'm like, it's just a rainbow. It's a cool thing. And then they'd be like, what's that? I'm like, it's a heart. And you just tell them, like, they don't give two fucks. No. I'm going to promise you that right now. Like, I have a friend, we were doing a photo shoot, and her daughter came up to me like, what, is your character a boy or, because I'm, sorry, we, I LARP, I was in my LARP costume. And
we were doing a photo shoot.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm super fucking lame, guys. We were doing a LARP photo shoot, and my friend's daughter came up to me, she's like, is your character a boy or a girl? I'm like, neither. And she's like, whoa. Aww. And her mind was fucking blown. I'm like, I'm powerful.
Welcome to non-binary.
Yeah, like no shit. Kids don't care. Like, just make it casual.
And they're so accepting.
Give them examples to look up to that are not the fact that they're gonna get murdered in a nightclub having a good time on fucking Latino night or whatever the fuck it was.
I don't remember what happened at Pulse.
At Pulse. Or going, just being out and just proud of yourself with a partner and not getting the shit beat out of you. Like, give them examples that aren't violent, that aren't going to make them worried that they're not going to live past their 20s.
I have to tell you something, like, which is fucked up as, like, a straight person that scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. I was driving around where I live, and I was, like, driving past Walmart or whatever, and I saw, like, this really, really cute lesbian couple.
No.
And they were holding hands, and it was cute because, like, one was, like, I don't know what they call them, but, like, really, I think they call them e-girls now.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Really, she was so cute. One was, like, emo, and then the other one, I think they call them, oh, I don't know, you young kids is. She was, like, wearing mom jeans and, like, she
oh,
had
just,
a,
like, the whole 90s vibe.
The whole
90s thing.
Vibe. Mm-hmm. And they were holding hands, that's but then so I was, cute. Like, oh, God, please be careful holding hands. Mm-hmm. Please be careful holding hands. Yeah. And I shouldn't think that because, like they're so young and they're so cute and they're so happy. Mm-hmm. And they're literally just walking around town holding hands. But I'm just, like, I think that my city is, like, pretty chill. Yeah. But I'm still just, like, oh, like you're 16. Please be careful.
Like, and going along with that, like, okay, guys, I'm trans in a direction where I'm, like, I'm more masculine. Like, I'm getting there. And I'm also
Harlow
white.
Is there?
Not quite. Give me another year on tea or some shit.
Oh, it's king.
I'm gonna have a cool ass beard anyway. But like, I'm white, and I'm it's generally, sorry, it's more accepting to be more masculine than it is feminine in our society because people fucking suck. But like,
patriarchy.
I get nervous sometimes when I look all scraggly and haven't shaved in a couple of days, and like, I don't even sound super, super, super masculine, and I'm confusing to look at if you're a small child. Let's just put it that way. They don't know if you're a boy or a girl. But I get scared just going to Walmart and making sure, like, I hope no one yells at me today.
Like, it's so crazy, like, that,
I,
like,
I hope I don't get punched.
Like, you have to, oh, I need milk, and you have to go to the store, and you have to, like, worry about fucking bumping into the wrong guy who's gonna fucking...
Like, oh, do I need to shave and put my hair up nice before I go and get groceries?
No, or, don't!
Or go run to the dollar store for, like, glue or something,
like, you
dumb?
You constantly have key claws in your hands, and it's not good. It's horrible.
Do I come out at work and worry that, like, parents are gonna flip their shit that there's a trans person working at the daycare? Like, that's... That's a shit you gotta worry about. Like, it's dumb. Like, because, you know, the kids don't care, but you have to worry about all the grown-ass adults who are capable of critical thinking flipping their lids.
Yeah.
Infuriating, guys. If you're cis and white, please educate yourself in the fact that we are dying constantly, and everything since fucking dickbag Cheeto Man has made everything 10 times worse, and he is constantly trying to take away our rights as human beings.
Yeah.
And it's awful. Please vote responsibly.
And if you listen to this podcast, you owe it to Harlow and everybody in the trans and gay community to, like, vote.
If you want
to
be my favorite fan, please. This is coming out, it might come out on Tuesday.
I think it's Super Tuesday. It'll already be out.
Yeah. Okay, so done. When this comes out, you'll have already voted. But please just know that I hope you voted responsibly. And if you didn't, well, I guess that sucks. Vote responsibly and the for real good shit.
Yeah.
Like, I quite literally, my life and the life of other LGBT trans people quite literally depends on how you vote.
And it's not, like, it's not, there are children in cages, guys. There are Mexican children in cages right now who are, there's a
there
child
people
who died
who are,
of the flu.
There are, like, people who live here legally that are getting kicked out of their homes. There are people who cannot afford with two jobs to support their two kids by themselves.
There's like ICE is coming and taking families who've been in America for years, where like the mom, like in some instances, where like say the mom and the kids got here legally, but the dad needed to get here first mm-hmm. to get the money to get over here legally. And they're taking the dad out who's making all the money. Mm-hmm. And now there's a Mexican family whose dad is in a fucking prison mm-hmm. for no other reason than existing. And it's just like, I didn't mean to shift this.
No, but like,
but it's like, please think about who you vote for whenever the big election comes up.
And like,
please,
there's also,
we all know who you're gonna vote for,
and like,
but we just want to make sure
you're not voting for someone who's putting children in cages, making low-income people spread disease because they cannot afford to go to a doctor.
Oh,
vote for someone who's not gonna make a single mom get two jobs and barely scrape by.
And make sure you're not voting for somebody who was the mayor of New York and voted for Stop and Frisk and is lying about getting rid of Stop and Frisk whenever Obama had to stop and frisk, yeah. By the way, just so you know.
Don't vote for someone
who... That's Mike Bloomberg?
Yeah, fuck that guy. Don't vote for someone who is actively trying to take away native lands from people who are quite literally have had their history and their land ripped away from them. Make sure you're not voting for someone who is actively taking away regulations for the food that you eat, the products that you buy. Make sure you're not voting for someone who is actively putting oil pipelines that are breaking into lakes that belong to the native people that have been here since before white fuckers got here and took it from them.
The native people had their land and their culture raped from them. And we need to stop taking what we've already taken. We have plenty. There's no reason to keep going.
Capitalism is awful.
Everything's bad.
But vote responsibly because you can change it, and your vote matters.
Your vote literally fucking matters. Okay? I know that last election year, what I don't want to experience again, and I cry about this in counseling almost every single time I talk about fucking voting, I'm gonna cry.
It's okay.
But what I don't want to experience again is the way the world shut down whenever Trump was elected president.
I cried.
The way everybody was walking around, the way we all felt when the world was silent when we woke up that morning was the worst fucking feeling, and I never want to fucking feel that feeling again.
We are a quite literally a nation full of young people who have literally educated themselves on every goddamn subject that there is, and we have a voice and we are powerful, and I want you to use that.
And because there are so many of us, we can thank the boomers and the boom Gen X for that, because they produced so many of us.
Congratulations.
That's the only good thing they did was
you
give us a fucking voice.
You birthed an entire revolution. I hope you're ready to burn. Sorry. We hate capitalism and you.
Sorry, I cried.
No, man. It's okay to cry about things you're passionate about. Who gives a fuck?
It's Harlow's turn. Oh, sorry. I should be a good
I'm
going to
talk about aliens. I like this guy so much because he knows how to dress.
Oh.
You remembered.
Yeah, I was like, what does he wear? Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to tell you about the Flatwoods Monster. Now, I think it also is in that new Fallout 76 game, but I can't remember. But anyway.
Oh, hey, did you know that... I'm so sorry I'm interrupting you.
You're good.
The first episode where you covered that Ed and Lorraine Warren... Uh-huh. That's going to be the third Conjuring. With that case is, it's going to be the third Conjuring that's coming out in September.
They're making another movie?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be about that case, The Devil Made Me Do It.
No
case.
Shit.
Yeah. I thought you would die if you heard that. I forgot to tell you.
No way. Yeah. Is there a trailer out?
Not yet, but I was looking up pictures of Arnie for like the Instagram mm-hmm. whenever I had to redo everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, and it said the next case, the next Conjuring, Conjuring 3. And that's the one that's coming out in September.
Holy hell.
And I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Fuck yeah. Guys, look, I'm so on top of it. All right. Oh, damn. That's cool as hell.
Yeah, I thought that was really awesome.
Okay. So, Flatwoods Monster happened in, wouldn't you know it, Flatwoods, West Virginia.
No,
we're singing it.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna, because we did it really badly last time. I was gonna do it.
Country roads.
Take me.
Take me home.
We're gonna get sued.
To the place.
I'm alive. We should just scream songs. Let's make a folk punk band.
Oh, yeah, let's just do it. All we have to do is talk and do this on a slapbox. Oh, bad sound.
That was a bad
sound. That's good podcasting,
ladies and gentlemen. I'll learn how to play spoons. Oh, yeah. I fucking love that shit.
Spoon man.
What's the washboard? Rhythm,
well, you can and take me. Come together with your hands, spoon man. Thank you.
Is it actually Spoon Man?
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's what it's about. There's like a spoon man playing, and he wrote a song about it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's your music education for today. All right. So, Flatwoods, West Virginia, September 12th, 1952. So, 7:15.
We'll sing another song, and I'm like,
we'll talk about music later. We'll talk about music. That at 7:15 p.m., Edward and Fred May, who were 13 and 12, along with their friend Tommy Heyer, who was 10, saw bright objects shoot across the sky and lands in a nearby farm owned by G. Bailey Fisher. So when the boys saw this, they freaked the fuck out because, shooting star! Or not, because it crashed Stitch. In a field. Yeah, it's an alien. So they immediately lost their minds, ran home to their mom, Kathleen May, which, in case you didn't get it, is Fred and Edward's mom. She's, I'm imagining, doing mom things, and she just rolls her eyes and be like, all right, let's go check it out. So she heads out with them. And somewhere, I still don't know. We talked about it briefly, but they pick up three more people on their way to this field. Neil Nunley, who's 14, Ronnie Shaver, who's 10, and West Virginia National Guardsman Eugene Lemon, who's a 17-year-old. I don't know how you
I like
get
how
that.
She just picked up like a gaggle of like kids.
Yeah, and,
like,
they're all just gonna go check out this alien ship thing.
I'm gonna marry Eugene Lemon so my last name can be Lemon.
How old would he be now? He was 17 in 1952. He's probably real old.
Dead.
Oh, shit. Yeah, maybe. So so as they're all heading out to this farm thing, Eugene had his dog. So Eugene Lemon had a dog, and I mentioned this because in one of those stories, as they're going over this hill into the farm, the dog, like, goes up in front of them, and then, it, like, I imagine you, like, wait a beat or two, and the dog comes, like, running real fast right back at them, and, like, fucking bonkers.
I imagine the dog's a golden retriever.
Oh, see, I was imagining, like, a beagle, like a little,
yeah,
dude.
I like beagle more. Yeah.
They're like, all right, that's weird. And they got to the top of the hill, and it's, like, thematically, like, looking over, and they see some whack-ass shit. So here's what it is. There's apparently this, like, pulsating red light from a direction where they shine their flashlight. And when they shine their flashlight in that direction, it was this 10-foot-tall thing.
I don't like that.
It had a round, blood-red face with this,
damn,
like...
Damn, but he's over 6 feet, though. I'm sorry.
So,
I'm just joking.
He has a blood-red face. It's like a large pointed hood thing that looks like a spade on a playing card. So it's kind of like a weird heart.
Yeah.
That doesn't quite.
Heart.
Yeah. And like the bottom. Or I guess the top.
Yeah.
So it doesn't heart. And then it's. I'm imagining I'd probably just type this wrong because it says eye, but I think it has two eyes. But either way, its eyeballs glowed this like greenish orange color. And its body was either dark black or green. And it also had these, like, small claw hands that are described as, like, noodly.
What's the point in having a claw hand if it's just a noodle?
Well, they don't look... They look more like stick arms. Like how you tell someone, like, oh, you screen... screen bean?
String bean.
String bean.
That should have been the name of our podcast.
It'd been good. String beans and corn. Scream beans.
Scream beans.
But anyway, they got, like, this little stick arms. They're not really, like, noodly
they're
as
just,
in, like wavy. They're just, like, lanky and, like, thin.
Ew, I don't like that.
With, like, little claw hands. And it was wearing either green armor. Oh, green clothing or armor. I guess it'd be green armor. I don't give a fuck.
Well, you'd be wearing both.
I hope you're wearing clothes under
like,
your armor.
Because, like, could you imagine if you, like, just wore, like, chainmail or something?
You don't do that.
On your nipples?
You wear...
Ow!
You wear... I'm going to get this really wrong for my friends who actually do this, but you got to have, like, if you're wearing full, like, plate shit, you wear, like, shirt, and then you wear like that padded gambeson shit that's like this thick.
Oh, hot.
And then you put that fucker on, and then you put your armor on, and then you put your extra shit. So like it's a
whole
process.
How hot are you when you're fighting?
No, they're real sweaty.
Oh, yuck. Y'all
but they
gross.
Look hot.
Me, oh, yuck.
One of these days, I'm going to take you to go watch Shannon fight. She literally owns a thing called Warlord Combat Academy, and they fight with, like, full fucking armor and swords and shit.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, they're badass.
Why are all your friends so cool?
You need to come meet my friends. So I was wearing green clothing or armor, or both, who fucking knows. And it was generally pretty hard, like, for the group to, like, make out details on what this thing, this 10-foot thing was. Because as they got closer, they smelled this, like, rotten egg sulfury thing. I'm imagining the same smell you smell when, you, like, there's demons around your house.
Yeah.
And there was this, like, mist kind of everywhere, which is glowing red because there's this fucking pulsing red light, by the way. And this mist is, like, making their eyes and their noses water and, like,
so it's
burn
like
and shit.
Tear gas.
Tear gas.
I said it last time. I'll say it again.
The aliens know how tear gas works. And also, because, like, as soon as, like, they're turning and the camera and the flashlight pan and hit this monster, it, like, makes this shrieking, hissing noise.
Hell no.
And, like, glides.
I hate
glides.
That.
Full on fucking hoverboard going
I
at the group.
I hate that. I hate that so much about this fucking thing.
It does it multiple times. So when it does that, they responded by running the fuck away.
Hell yeah. If something's launching at me.
Yeah, like, this is fucking stick arms and glowing green
and
orange
like,
eyes.
I picture this thing like fucking...
I bet it hauled ass.
Yeeting across.
Yeah, like how in horror movies where it's like you blink and it's right there.
Yes.
That's how I imagine it. Later, they were like, some of them were reported to be like super, super nauseous, very sick. And it may or may not be related, but some of them got cancer. So.
Cancer gas.
The mother contacted the sheriff and a newspaper owner. The newspaper man was Mr. Stewart, and he had done several interviews, and even went back to the site with Eugene Lemon, and he reported saying that there was a sickening burnt metallic odor, like, still in the area, and, he also wrote later he discovered, like, skid marks in the field and an odd gummy deposit, but when the sheriff went there, he's like, yeah, there's nothing here, by
the
way.
Sheriff
was not happening it. I still need to.
Where do the skid marks come from then?
So, okay, the skid marks are believed to belong to like a Chevy pickup truck that belonged to a Max Lockhart who had actually gone there before the newspaper man had gotten there.
Got it.
And it was his truck. And Eugene Mother's, what? Eugene Lemon's mother, yeah, okay, said that her house shook and the radio cut out for like 45 minutes that same night. And then there is also a report from the local director on the Board of Education that it said 6:30 that, like, following morning, he saw, like, a saucer take off. Whoa.
The sheriff is just a mean
the
skeptic.
The sheriff isn't having it. He lives in a small town. He hates everything. It's fine.
He's, like, puts his hands on his hips and he's, like, looking at a whole flying saucer. He's like, well, boys, there's nothing here.
It's them Russians. The Russians did it. Because, by the way, guys, there are so many people because of the fact that this is in the 1950s, all right? Like, the Soviet Union just tested their, like, atomic bomb, and everyone's, like, super, super worried about enemy aircrafts and shit. So when something crashes, I think that's how they picked up all the extra people. It was like, oh, man, there's some Soviets that are gonna get us! And, like, going and running towards it? Like, what the fuck? Now they think about it, what the hell are you doing?
It's like, yeah, that is really stupid. And if you thought it was an alien, why would you... I would go.
I'd go. I'm a dumbass. So, a week later, near the original site, a woman and her daughter were driving when a blinding light hit their car. And when they stopped, they saw the original creature, but it was, like, wearing this metallic skirt, and there was the same, like... sulfury smoke and light.
A true fashionista.
Right? Honestly.
Holographic
take note.
Metallic skirt.
Aliens know what is up. And again, so this one, it was on some sort of like floating device, but it also still like floated at them.
I don't.
It touched their car and made like a V-shaped burn into it. So that story freaks the fuck out. And eventually it gets looked into by the U.S. Air Force because they've been doing project with UFOs, not necessarily aliens, sorry, under Project Blue Book.
Oh, yeah.
And they had an explanation. So now...
I made this joke last time, but okay, the fucking staircase. Like, what the fuck, an owl?
Yeah.
Like, that is the stupidest.
They said it was because with the owl with its wings up could have looked like the shape or something
like
that.
Like it's wearing a metallic skirt.
Yeah, 10-foot tall owl? No. But they said it was an owl.
I'm dead. Oh, it hurts.
So, also, in case you wanted some numbers... in 1952, there was 1,501 UFO sightings in the U.S. 303 of them are unexplained, which is like a fourth?
Wait.
Sure, I can't math. It's a good chunk of numbers. It's like, okay, if you don't know the other numbers, that sounds, sure, yeah, whatever. But the highest amount with like similar total found UFO sightings, the next highest one was 46.
So there's... And I think I had trouble understanding this last time. Mm-hmm. 303 unexplained in one
and that
calendar
one
year. Holy shit! And it's usually around like the 60s.
Yes, usually it's 40s. In like literally double digits. And
oh,
I don't
my
think it goes.
God.
I don't think it even like literally that was the highest one. It doesn't go above 46. Like that's the next highest one. Yeah. So
that's like literally almost every single day.
Mm-hmm. If you can look, there's the chart is up. If you go look at Project Blue Book stuff, like you can read some of the paper. It's boring as hell, but you can find that chart if you need to like visualize it. I'll try to find it so we can put it on the site.
Yeah.
But
probably
yeah,
too big for the Instagram, but we'll put it on the site.
Project Blue Book is like a whole fucking thing you can easily dive into, but we'll get into that later. There was another sighting on September 12th, the original sight time, so where George and Edith Snedowski, sure, were driving between Gasaway and Frametown, West Virginia. Their car had gotten a new battery, and it just suddenly stalled and, like, stopped in the middle of the road. They began to smell the stinky rank smell. So George, like, well, fuck, got out of the car,
oh
checked
God.
It out. And, like, down the road, there's this, like, oh hovering God. Globe just kind of moving back and forth and glowing this, like,
hell
violet
no.
light. Yeah. So he's like, well, what the fuck is that? Walked up, like, heading in that direction. And he said he felt the sensation of thousands of needle-like vibrations on his skin.
Oh, my God.
So he, like, started to feel sick and was, like, kind of stumbling and turned around to go back to the car. And as soon as he turned around, his wife screamed
no!
that there was something behind him. And he, like, whips around. And there's this figure, 8 or 9 feet tall, big old head, fat body, spindly arms, just gliding right at him.
Fuck you. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, they got away. That's the extent of it.
I think the reason that one freaks me out the most is because there's like a scene in the X-Files that always really scared mm-hmm. me where Scully and Mulder are, surprise, it's Scully and Mulder, mm-hmm. are driving in their car and like this has a time jump in it. But I wonder
yeah.
if it's based on this sighting because like there wasn't, you didn't mention a time jump.
No,
there
none of these have time jumps, which is very
sucks.
Unfortunate.
But
I guess they were not really abductions. You just see the alien and
yeah.
whatever.
But like, they're, like, driving, and there was, like, a time jump, and mm-hmm. their car just, like, stopped working, and they're, like, in this dense fog, mm-hmm. and then Mulder was like, there was a time jump, and then Scully's like, no, there was, because she saw that there was a time mm-hmm. jump. And it always freaked me out.
So, if you go to Flatwoods, West Virginia, West Virginia in general, there's, like, tons of fucking museums. Sutton, West Virginia has a monster museum dedicated to the Flatwoods Monster, and Braxton County's visitor center actually slowly turned into like a monster museum. There's even like a localish for my folk punk whatever's, you know who you are.
Hey.
There's a local band called Captain Catfish. That's Cat F-E-E-S-H. They're based in Morgantown, and they sing about cryptids, and there's a song called like the Phantom of Flatwoods, and you should just go look at their song titles. We did this last time, but it took like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Go look at them. They sound...
There were some that were like, there's one that was just straight folk, and then there's this one that's called Egging Surfing or something.
Yeah, Egging Surf Party. Yeah, if that doesn't tell you enough, I don't know what will. But like, they got some wild-ass shit. Go give them a listen. But yeah, the Flatwoods Monster is actually on a couple of the album art. So you can also see what the big old noodly arm dude looks like too.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I can find the song specifically, but I couldn't, so it's okay.
Let's see. I'll see if I can search for it fast.
I couldn't find it on Spotify.
Phantom of the Flatwoods? No, just Flatwoods.
Oh, I looked up the Flatwoods and I was getting like camera. Bam. Wow. Oh, this is that folky one.
Mm-hmm. I'll skip ahead a bit.
So yeah, skip ahead.
Well, suck as it came. Oh, phantom
of Flatwoods from moon or from Mars. Play the Edgeen Surf Party. God and not from the stars. And then for like better folk punk, there's like the Edgeen Surf Party or whatever. I'm making Harlan play that one. So good. Wait.
I'm gonna skip to the middle.
Oh, they got that slap box in there.
Oh, I just skipped to the middle.
I want to hear his voice.
Let's skip again.
Oh no, I don't like that.
Oh yeah.
No, that's too much. I don't like this. This is too angry.
Lexi was vouching for the song and then heard him screaming.
The beginning of it was so good.
The beginning is really good. But definitely go give it a listen. There is I don't know what song it was, but one of them definitely gave me trippy whatever chill ass shit from like 70s.
Hello everybody, thank you, goodbye everybody, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you guys want to find us on our new and improved plugs, we're the Corn Pod now on Instagram. That's thecornpod, and our website, thecornpod.com, that's thecornpod, and we are just corn. That's the name of our podcast. It's corn. You can't forget it. It's your favorite vegetable. It's not our favorite vegetable.
I hate corn. I hate it with a furious passion.
But now Harla's gonna own all kinds of corn stuff. All right, everybody, have a fantastic Thursday, and we look forward to seeing you in 2 minutes in episode 6.
Bye.
Bye.